Hey everyone, I just want to let you know we had planned on doing the AFC win totals and talking about football, as I say in the intro to the show, but here's a spoiler alert. We didn't end up talking any football. This, friends, is actually a Cuss Corner!
Cuss Corner, it's Cuss Corner. Cuss Corner, it's Cuss Corner. He's got the hottest takes with the highest stakes. He should be president of the United States, but it's Cuss Corner, it's Cuss Corner. Cuss Corner.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Experience, presented by DraftKings. Got a smorgasbord of stuff, talking some NFL today, maybe some nonsense, who knows? Something that we're going to try to do every few weeks up on Mayo Media Network, so please subscribe to the channel and, you know, share the show around, tell some friends, subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, Spotify, all that good stuff, leave a rating and review, smash the like button. I think I'm through all of that stuff, so we're going to go over our AFC win projections from before the season to see how we did, talk about the teams, maybe try to project them out just a little bit, and then we'll get to some more stuff. I actually do want to start with something. Well, first, Jeff Feinberg is in studio with me. Hello.
I'm kind of nervous because I don't think I projected anything right.
Well, we all had the Chiefs to win the AFCs. So that was good. We got that right.
Yeah, that was a layup.
Well, sometimes you need to be able to hit that layup.
Yeah,
you don't want to be the guy banking it out when no one's around you.
But yeah, I'm crazy, but I'm not that crazy.
Sure.
Like to think that someone else was going to win the AFC last year, even in August or September, whenever we talked about it.
Sure. I think it was actually the very end of August when we did it, when I went back and looked at my notes for what everyone picked. I do want to remind everyone that there's a brand new podcast on Mayo Media Network. It's called Daily Fantasy Sports Picks and Bets, The Mix. You can find the links all down in the descriptions. Obviously, the videos are going to be up on the YouTube network. But if you subscribe to that, download the episodes, leave a 5-star rating and review something you like about the show, put in your Twitter handle or email. You're in a draw for $100, and Jeff and I will be giving away the winners on Monday's Pat Mayo Experience. It's all if you're just looking for short form plays. There's no real fluff like on this show, which I know that some people love. I love it when I listen to podcasts. But listen, if I want some NASCAR bets, I want it to be to the point. So there's NASCAR, UFC, golf, Euro golf, soccer, other things, esports, just short form podcasts. If you're looking to get in some action, whether it's betting, whether it's on DraftKings, you can find it all up there. So please go do that. Get in the draw for $100. I mean, it takes you like 2 seconds. Why wouldn't you even give that a try? Also, there's a Cuss Corner exclusive feed. Just search Cuss Corner and you can find it. Rate and review that one too, because, oh my God, the star of that show is on the line, Tim Andergust.
Tim Andergust.
That's not my name. I gotta say, I learned what a kill line was from The Mix. I had no idea what that was.
You listen to the esports show?
I listened to it, and because I don't know anything about it, and I was like, this is kind of weird and different, and it's like I was like a Martian observing human interactions and didn't know what to do, but it was cool. And so after I smashed that like button, I decided to listen.
Well, before we jump into the football stuff, I think we should hit on that. Tim told us right before we got on air that he's going to be calling McDonald's the moment that he gets off air because they're not serving pancakes for him.
Well, yes. I mean, people who are listening to this on Thursday, but we're recording it on Shrove Tuesday. It's pancake day. And you in Canada, anyway, the hotcakes are not part of the all day breakfast, but like, this is the day to have them. Like, you're just setting money on fire, not selling hotcakes on this day. It'd be like not selling filet of fishes on Good Friday or something. It would be crazy. And so, yes, I really, 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 really hope that they're selling the hotcakes and sausages tonight for supper, because I really, really want that. And I'll be crestfallen if they don't.
Imagine so taking weird. the 4 minutes out of your day to make yourself pancakes.
Yeah, but I like the way the McDonald's does it. And like you can't get their syrup at home. And like you can just drown it like a soup in syrup and margarine. And it's so good.
Why don't you use butter?
It spreads so much easier. And I think the taste
Hold on a second. What do you mean it spreads so much easier? It spreads
butter
exactly
clumps.
The same.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah. If you fucking freeze it and then don't let it thaw, sure. Well,
also, if you put it on a steaming hot pancake, it usually will melt. And
no, but then it doesn't cook evenly.
Tim, I hate this comes up. This isn't the first time it comes up, but every time he goes down this pancake road, I feel like that is when I become my meanest to Tim. My response to it always seems to be when he claims that McDonald's is the best pancakes he's ever had, is that I don't think anyone who's ever loved him has made him pancakes.
It does seem like not the worst place to get pancakes.
And that's excluding the fact that where you guys live, where I know he lives, there's probably like a handful of shanty all day breakfast spots.
Oh, for sure.
That would make the most delicious pancakes.
Although pancakes, hard to fuck up if you make them at home. They're not that hard to make.
No, but there's a level that can be good or not good. And I don't know. McDonald's, that ain't it, buddy. That ain't it.
I guarantee you haven't had hotcakes in there in so long that you're going off of a very old memory of what you think it might have tasted like.
You could.
And I'm here to tell you, as someone who's got his ear to the ground, toaster
pancakes.
You say that like it's a pejorative. Like, so what? I like that. That's good.
So we have a.
That doesn't make them the best. They could be good. Okay, but for you to not. I don't believe you. You know the expression
selling like hotcakes?
We have a Facebook group amongst our friends, and Tim's name just constantly gets changed time after time, and it's currently Smoking Ruined My Taste Buds. That's Tim's name in our chat.
I don't even bother to change the name back anymore.
It makes sense. It's such a crazy take. And yeah, just stick with butter. Leave it out.
Butter is so overrated. That's the thing. Like, butter's fine. I'm not anti-butter. But like, it clumps and it doesn't spread evenly.
What do you mean it clumps? I don't understand what you mean when you say not, that it clumps.
It's inefficient. Sorry, it just is. Now, if you get like whipped butter, that's different. Then that would be very efficient and it spreads like the old-timey stuff that you would churn. That would spread a link far more efficient. But today's modern butter that you get at the store, you take it out of the fridge and it's just hard as a rock.
Why are you taking it out of the fridge? Why aren't you just leaving it in the butter dish, not in the fridge, like a sane person?
It gets that film sometimes and like grosses me out.
Sorry, Howard Hughes.
No. I'm sorry. I can't stand it. It has like that. Sometimes there's that liquefied part to it and it just makes my stomach turn. And so no, it must always be in the fridge for me.
What? So when we're done,
I thought you were going to say what is wrong with you?
Well, that's a...
We don't know. That's the mystery of the Pat Mayo experience. We're done.
You're going to call McDonald's. Can we, like, role play that phone call?
Sure.
All right. I will be... You call me. I will be 17-year-old currently working at McDonald's, okay?
Okay. Ring. Ring.
McDonald's.
Ring. Hi there. I have a question for you if you have a moment.
Okay.
Are you guys serving hotcakes this evening, given that it's Shrove Tuesday?
I'm not sure what that is, and no, we don't serve pancakes.
You do serve pancakes?
We serve them in the morning for breakfast. They're not a part of our all-day menu.
I appreciate that they're usually not a part of your all-day menu, but given that today is pancake day, I was wondering whether you guys were... Got a reserve or whatever, like in the truck, go back or whatever, and are ready to serve some pancakes.
Sir, we appreciate your call, but I told you that we are not serving them.
You're not? Like, do you... Can I speak to a manager, please?
I am the manager. Sorry. Okay, but... Listen here, Tim and or Karen. What do you mean the truck out back? The fuck is wrong with you?
Or whatever. Like, they would have got a big shipment today, probably. Of the pancakes, or hotcakes, or knowing that a lot of people are going to McDonald's today.
No,
they probably sell as many. They probably sell more hotcakes on this day than any other day of the year, and it's probably by a factor of 3 or 4.
I guarantee you that's not true.
Oh, I think it is true. I think you underestimate just how many people go to McDonald's for breakfast. No,
people would go to like a Golden Griddle, like that actually want pancakes that are trying to live up to this holiday.
Honestly, if that's what it takes, I have
holiday. No, whatever he is like making, the people want to actually act out this Shrove Tuesday.
Yeah, my grandma. It's
the first time I've ever heard of it.
My grandma used to do it. So the thing would be like she would make the pancakes at home. We'd have them in the evening, and then she would put stuff in the pancakes. And that would be like your fortune. If there was like a nail in it, which seems wildly unsafe, you would be like a carpenter. It'd be like a thing. It was really stupid.
It was tradition. Like you'd put
I'm glad that we don't do it anymore.
you'd put a gold coin in somebody's pancakes. I mean, it goes back to tradition, right? You had to get all the butter and flour used up in the house tonight.
The people that are celebrating this, they're going to their 24, their all day breakfast joints.
No, the people that are celebrating this are probably getting, they're probably getting it served to them in their home.
Okay,
100%.
Sure, but the ones that are going out for a pancake dinner aren't going to McDonald's.
No, they're making them at home.
They're going to IHOP.
I like the hotcakes.
They're not.
Anyway.
I really like pancakes, so it's offensive to me.
Do you have a like ranking of the type of things that you like in pancakes? I'm going to say that nail is probably not up there.
No, I actually like them kind of.
Plain?
I like them plain. I don't know. I'm lucky. My wife makes a fantastic pancake. She's always experimenting, and she's into that
with pancakes.
I don't know, just like trying a new recipe.
You can add different stuff to it, right?
Not even adding stuff to it, just like a different, literally a different
type of flour.
Yeah, literally, she's into that. And my wife, my mom. It's funny how I was trying to say
my mom,
but I thought of my wife. That's probably creepy. Great pancakes too. To think that any of them could be outdone by a McDonald's hotcake.
The correct answer for things to add to pancakes is chocolate chips.
Now, sure. See, I don't like chocolate chips and pancakes. I prefer blueberries and pancakes.
Oh, I don't really like blueberries to begin with. I find them to be kind of.
I like them both.
Well, they're not high in cholesterol and horrible for you. So why would
I would take
them?
strawberries and pancakes. Strawberries. That's perfectly fine.
Can't believe you That'd think be some 18-year-old
raisins
is gonna like change the all day menu
at their franchise.
At the franchise, you're gonna try to talk him into it by saying,
I know
there are hotcakes on the premises. Can't you just put them in the toaster for me?
Look how quickly it took him to go. Can I speak with the manager?
Well, like I wasn't getting service, and
I'm telling you, you're an Ander Karen.
Why not just go right there? Because you're going to want to have a confrontation.
No, I don't
want to
drive there. Like,
he's afraid to drive outside today. It's freezing rain.
If it means I have to order off menu, I will. If they won't have them there for me, I don't mind doing that at McDonald's. Off menu. But it's a matter of like
off menu.
No, not really.
Of course, you can get stuff during. Of course, you can. If you want a cheeseburger
dressed like a Big Mac, they'll put different stuff. Yeah, that's not the same. That's not the same thing.
Off menu.
Of course it is. It's not on the menu, and yet I just got it. So that's off the menu.
I don't think you quite understand what off menu means. That'd be like if you went to McDonald's and ordered a fucking steak or something.
Can you make me a Big Mac with a McChicken in the middle of it? Be like, no, we'll like sell you both of them and you could do whatever you want, but we're not like constructing something off menu for you.
It's like, no, you can have this and we'll put the different sauce on this one for you. That's fine.
They let you dress it. Yeah, change toppings.
But that's not on the menu, right? There's not like a little thing on the menu that says dress like a Mac for 39 cents. Therefore, that's ordering off menu. I'm sorry. It just did. The day I learned
you have the lowest idea of off menu. Paul, you have something to say? Well,
I believe you can order the McGangbang, which is like all of the meats.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's off menu. If you could actually go to the store without ordering you could probably ask some kid.
I know the people that work at the McDonald's I frequent and local, and they're lovely people. This woman would be horrified if I asked her for the McGangbang. Now, to Tim, where we live, Pat, like off menu is a real thing, as it probably is for 99% of our listeners. There's like burger joints here that literally have a secret menu. Like they're one of my favorite places. They literally have a secret menu that you can order things off of. They have things on
is
it that don't have
place,
it.
Jeff?
No, it's not. And they have this like, it's called like a Vatican. Where they will serve you your hamburger, but the buns are grilled cheese.
Ooh.
Oh, that sounds
good.
Yeah. Oh, it is something else, but it is not on menu.
All the Chinese places around here have like the Pat Mayo white guy menu, but they also have like the secret Chinese menu as well.
Yeah, of all course. Of them have it. Sure.
Well, the Chinese place I like to go to does this lemon chicken, but it's sort of an off menu thing where they just take the breaded chicken breast and they slice it into long slices and they give you a big cup of lemon sauce. It's excellent.
They cut it for him because Tim doesn't know. Tim's not trusted to use a knife, so they have to cut it for him.
My point was,
he also goes to the worst Chinese food.
Sounds
spot.
Really
No, I don't. It's actually too. Quite it's excellent. So it's been around
bad.
For 60 years.
And it's
known for being the best in the city. Known for being the best in the city.
It's not it's known to Tim because it's the only one he goes to. It sucks.
No,
so.
I go to
I used
other
to live
ones,
but right next to it. It's so bad.
It's so good. Anyway, my point was, if they don't have the extra for today, which would be foolish, it would be setting money on fire. If it's not available, they've got some ready for tomorrow morning. So, like, heat it up and give it to me. Like, I'm not asking for much here. I'm someone who patronizes the store pretty frequently, and I don't ask for very much. I think I could be accommodated in this instance. I'm not going to McDonald's for the next 47 days. Give it to me tonight, please.
Well, here's the thing. It's just like with the Diet Coke. No matter what they do, you're going to keep drinking it. No matter how poorly McDonald's treats you, you're going to go back when the time comes. So what do they give a
shit
about?
Yeah, but I can go to a different franchise.
No, but you won't, because you're you.
Oh, yes, I am.
No, you won't.
Oh, yes, I will. I drove across the province to buy McDonald's coupons.
There you go. Yeah, because you love McDonald's so much.
What happened? I want you to test this tonight. This is the type of thing where, like, one day you'll be big enough where there's literally, like, a videographer, like, on standby for you to go with Tim, and you will drive around the whole goddamn city. You'd hit 7 of these goddamn McDonald's, and not one of them would accommodate this stupid after-hours pancake off menu.
It's not stupid. Everybody
the response
which one
would
could
be,
he boycott? Where would he boycott? He can't go to a different one. None of them will
say I would boycott. I'm saying if I got attitude, I could go to a different McDonald's.
The answer would be, sir, maybe you shouldn't eat McDonald's anymore.
But you're
going to
hold that
you.
Franchise against the, like, 19-year-old working
not
the
if they were kind
on a
about
Tuesday
it,
night.
We're just not allowed.
Well, you've already tried to go over their head to their manager.
You
I'm
called
sure that's
the kid.
Well.
The kid told you they stopped serving. Sir, we stopped serving pancakes at 11 a.m. I am sorry.
Done. Whose call is that? If that's not your call, if it's the manager's call, I'd like to speak to
you. No, it's not even the manager's call, though. It's probably corporate's call.
This is just like when he was accosting the poor kid at the grocery store about him. To hammer this down once again, Tim asking him if they have a certain piece of produce, the guy saying, no, we're actually all out of that. Like, can you go check? It's like, no, I know that we don't have it.
I'm literally thinking about, there's a kid right now at your local McDonald's who has no idea what's about to hit him in 90 minutes. Like, no idea.
It's no different than when Tim asked him at Subway to cut it the old way, which existed before half these people were born.
His whole life is like an SNL skit sometimes.
No, it's not. All I want is what all I want is what's coming to me. And what I want is my pancakes the way I want them. And listen, if
there are lots of places,
me,
restaurants that will serve you pancakes tonight.
Yeah, but I want McDonald's. But if the manager tells me, the manager on duty tells me he's not allowed, okay, then I've gone as far as I can go. I appreciate the candor, and that's fine. Like, I'll be annoyed.
Can I speak to your franchisor?
Well, listen, I would actually probably want to put in a request for next year so that next year we don't have this problem. Because this comes around every year. It's not a mystery as to when Shrove Tuesday is. So I will want them next year too. God willing,
just,
I'm still around.
Just get the filet of fish and stop being a pain.
No.
You know, like, Eggos make
that's
pancakes
a Friday
now?
Thing.
Like, I see those.
So, like, that is literally what I imagine a McDonald's pancake tastes like. So just go to the grocery store, buy the Eggo pancakes, and there, you're done. You have what you want.
But I want what I want.
Well, Tim, sometimes people have to make sacrifices.
There's zero market for what you want. Hence, they're not. Stop serving pancakes.
There's
at
a market.
11 a.m.
There's a market.
In Tim's mind, there's a market. With everything going on in the world, I don't think anyone has more serious problems.
Is the 700 Tim. Club going to. He's already on number two. We're on the same topic. Is the 700 Club
going to
do
get these into
like
me.
A piece
out.
Complaining about like McDonald's not going after hours on pancakes today? No one gives a shit.
Well, I mean, you said that his life is like an SNL skit. It's not. That's a bit probably too classy. He's like a Mad TV skit. Tim's like the original Artie Lang before all the problems. Although Tim's addiction problems really mirror Artie's, just in completely different ways. Because that don't. All Tim has been doing for the past 2 weeks is talking to us about how he's giving up Diet Coke and all sodas for Lent. And like he wants pre-credit for it. But it's a fucking Diet Coke. Like, you should be able to stop drinking this if it's not addictive, like you say.
I'm just saying it's weighing on my mind. It's like the sword of Damocles. Sort of like a man waiting for the date of his execution, knowing it's coming. And like the closer it gets, the more anxious I... But in the end, I'm going to get rid of all these tonight. And it's...
How many?
I know. But like that made me laugh. So I retweeted it. And that made me laugh. So I retweeted it. But it's going to be tough with no fast food and no soda of any kind for the next 47 days. It's not going to be easy.
What's he doing?
But I'm going to do it.
He's giving up fast.
Keto, giving this all up for Lent.
Keto, or?
No, he's giving up for Lent. He's giving up fast food and diet soda, which is great. But it doesn't.
Also,
it also doesn't count as beating your addiction when the day when that ends, day 48, all you do is basically ingest the last 47 days back into you.
He's earned it.
No, I'm not going to drink 15 Diet Cokes on Easter Sunday. That's not going to happen.
So how many are you polishing tonight?
How many have you had today?
It doesn't matter how many I've had today.
No, it matters. How many Diet Cokes have you had today? I'm going to set the over-under. I'm going to let Jeff and Paul both bid on this. If I set the over-under at 8.5 Diet Cokes today.
Hard, already?
Already.
We're under already.
But we're on pace for 12. Yeah, I think you'd be at like 7. He's already on his second one.
What do you call
this.
It, a pallet? Like how much of the 24 case was still left for today that he needed
so
to consume?
I bought a case at Costco a couple weeks ago, knowing this would be the last one. And then a couple of days ago, I got it down to 4 or 5. And then I realized last night when I only had 2 or 3 left that like, this is not going to do it. So like I re-upped and got... I got another 12 pack and I'm going to try to get through that 12 pack and then that's it. It's sort of like, then it's gone. Now, if I don't, then there'll be 2 or 3 sitting in my fridge for the next 47 days that I can't touch. I don't know whether I will be inclined to.
Would you just launch them? Would you just like
pour
them
down
the
sink?
Yeah, I think you should pour them out. You might
honestly just be able to smell the aroma of the DC as I pour it down the drain.
But should you leave one? Should you leave one for tonight for the middle of the night in case you wake up and need
no to midnight cry? At midnight sharp it's over.
Yeah, but that's midnight. You can be on like Pacific time though. You'd be like, yeah, no, I'm playing Hawaii rules here.
I'm not interested in cheating or cutting corners. I'm interested in making genuine sacrifices.
Here's what you actually need to do. You need to keep one can of Diet Coke in your fridge all throughout Lent and not drink it. That would be impressive.
I agree, and I think that's probably given that I still have several more of this case that I bought for some reason. I bought it because 2 or 3 wasn't going to be enough to get me through the day, but like I couldn't buy a smaller amount. So anyway,
you could have bought the mini cans.
I don't know if they buy. I haven't seen DC mini cans in quite a while.
I see them all the
anyway,
time.
No. Anyway, no.
Are you going to end up being like the drug addict who lies to his family about not doing drugs? Remember we watched that episode of Intervention and the woman was huffing the like canned
air? Keyboard cleaner?
Yeah, the keyboard cleaner. Are you going to end up like her with Diet Coke where you're just lying to us all the time?
No, I'm actually
Diet
feeling
Coke, like underneath of a like blanket drinking Diet Coke in the middle of the night.
No, I'm both nervous, but also excited to like see how the next 47 days go.
So are we.
So you can stop poisoning yourself?
Yeah, listen, I've got my fridge full of AHA. I am ready for the next 47 days.
Forgot about this. He was big on bubbly, all in on bubbly, yeah. And telling us how great it was. He was big on it, and then he found out that it was a Pepsi product. And he's like, this is trash, after telling us how great it was.
I can't patronize it. I couldn't very well not be buying DC or Coke products for 40-some-odd days and start buying Pepsi products. I'm sorry. I'm too loyal for that type of stuff. I'm
like,
not going to commit.
Like, just like we said, it doesn't matter what these companies do to you. You're just going to continue to buy them.
There are certain companies where, yes, I will be loyal to them till the end. Unless they shut down and stop producing, there's pretty much nothing they can do to lose my patronage. I believe in loyalty above all else.
Even when they mistreat you and your body.
Well, you know what? They've treated me right.
Really?
For the most part. Anyway, I bought this watermelon lime AHA, and it's fine. It'll get me through.
Watermelon lime? That sounds like a real millennial flavor, pal.
And it's not. Listen, the thing is, the pineapple bubbly happens to be really good. I just can't have it. Same with the grapefruit bubbly. It's actually really good, but I'm not buying Pepsi products. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. There's a higher principle at stake here.
Do you ever listen back to one of these shows and hear what you say? Ever?
Occasionally.
Does it does it register to you, like, when you're listening to the show, and because sometimes I'll listen back to like what we're talking about, and I can really remove myself from, hey, this is Pat Mayo me talking. It's just Pat Mayo guy on a podcast talking. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can separate myself, but it's not me talking.
I think he's going like way farther than Coke or Pepsi intend their customers to go.
Yeah, because he's a maniac. He likes things like people love Trump.
No, but it's just so weird. Like,
and Tim loves Trump too.
Did
you know that Tim was one of the people who was? I saw a tweet out yesterday, I guess on Monday, that he was coming home from playing golf at Doral, and there was like lineups of people cheering for him. Tim secretly in that crowd, I bet.
I bet. My point being,
I'm
is
only
like
3,000 miles away.
Well, we knew you flew. You take that boat down.
The president of like Coca-Cola would be like, sure, Tim, like buy some bubbly. Like, that's okay. You buy a lot of Coke. Like, they don't want you to not be happy. They're happy as long as you're buying one of them or part of any of them. Like, I don't know what principle.
What? That's insane. This is not Miracle on 34th Street.
I don't know what.
Santa Claus is telling you to go to Gimbel's because Macy's hasn't got the right stuff.
You go to both places.
But I don't want to go to both places. I want to patronize.
But the one is better, and you're like standing on a moral high ground that
of carbonated water.
Like, you're literally making it like oh, now I've got to cheer for the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's a Bloods and Crips type situation for Tim.
No, it's a Romeo
as it pertains to Coke and Pepsi. But not even Coke and Pepsi. Situation. Coke and Pepsi offshoot water products.
Like, I get if you literally hated the product, but you're acknowledging that is a superior product to anything.
I didn't say superior.
I like this really product. Good. It's a good product. It's better than anything on that line that the Coca-Cola brand is coming up with, but I forbid to buy it. Like, you even own a fucking penny of stock.
Well, no, but that's not the way to look at it. Look, it's the Montagues and the Capulets, and I'm not going to marry a Capulet just because I'm a Montague. With the moral of that story was that they ended up killing themselves, and it was anyway.
You're going to McDonald's tonight, but sometimes you like come into the chat and it'll talk about some new offering at Burger King.
Some people, some people sit in the middle of the road and light themselves on fire to combat Chinese oppression. Tim does it for Pepsi.
You're making a mountain out of a mole here. I'm just
saying.
You
just talked about the Montagues who all killed themselves.
Why couldn't you appreciate a brand that, like, didn't Kendall Jenner end racism with Pepsi? Isn't Justin Herbert? Isn't Justin Herbert the Pepsi Rookie of the Year, buddy?
I thought he was the Diet Pepsi Rookie of the Year.
Jeff just called it that so he could take a gratuitous, nasty, and unnecessary shot
nasty
at Diet
shot
Coke, and it was an unnecessary shot, and by extension, a shot at me. Like I wouldn't see that I was being sub-tweeted, as they say on the internet, by that. Instead
what
of just
did
taking
I even do?
The credit that was richly yours and taking the victory lap, instead you chose to use that opportunity to pour derision all over Coke and me. And
Diet Pepsi is the superior Diet Cola.
But you didn't need to say that, and you only said that to get me going.
But I feel
and you
that.
Only made that point about how, oh, it's superior because they don't encourage their drinkers to have it in the morning. That's just trying to take away the credit that I got when I said that DC would start advertising that people would have it for breakfast, and then they did.
That's so sad.
That's a fact.
That's so sad.
It is sad. I agree. It is sad. It is sad that that's what took place, but I'm describing the circumstances as they were, and Jeff doesn't really deny it. He admits that that's exactly what he was doing when he was tweeting that.
So you tweeted out a reminder for Strove Tuesday, : the best pancakes you can get are McDonald's hotcakes, !. Get some today, !. See, there it is up on the screen. Have you actually worked out a deal with McDonald's and Coke to be an influencer? Because I think that would be very savvy of you.
Absolutely.
Because that sounds like a generic, that looks like a generic influencer tweet.
Yeah, we just need like a hashtag, like whatever McDonald's hashtag is.
Sponsored.
Hashtag.
Hashtag ad.
I prefer to take the opinions of people who are not financially invested in any way, shape, or form in something, because they're just giving you their true opinion. They're not partial or biased towards a product financially. They're just telling you, here's what I sincerely believe. It's, you know, we see that online too, with people pushing products all the time. If someone's pushing it because they're invested in it, or they would be to their benefit for you to buy them, that type of recommendation doesn't carry water for me in the same way that somebody who has no skin in the game would just says, as a reviewer, I actually think this thing is awesome and you should buy it. That carries a great deal of weight with me. And that is who I am. I'm giving the people as their tribune my unvarnished view about what I think would make them happy, because it makes me happy.
I don't know. Soon he might be promoting Top Shots or something, Tim.
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, is that the number one response to Tim's tweet was when I called him an influencer, that someone said, oh, he probably only makes $500,000 a year. What a loser.
Well, I mean, if you're an influencer for Coca-Cola and you're making, what, 16 grand a year? I mean, what kind of influencer are you really?
But you wouldn't.
I mean,
put it this way: if Coca-Cola,
like 10 sponsors.
Yeah, if Coca-Cola approached
Coke doesn't need influencers.
They have
them. That's the thing. McDonald's doesn't need influencers.
They have them.
They sponsor the Olympic Games. Yeah. They don't need.
And they also sponsor people on Instagram.
Oh, can I ask this question? I found a way where Tim could maybe be responsible for Corona.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Bear with me.
Such a funny story.
Cool story, Hansel.
Okay. The only way the Olympic Games can get cursed is a worldwide pandemic.
Okay.
Tim cursed the Olympic Games. Therefore, the only way to sort of sabotage them would be to create a worldwide pandemic. That is where we are. The games are sabotaged. He cursed them. A worldwide pandemic caused that.
I think this is a bank shot, I think.
Also, the pandemic has caused that Bond movie not to come out, which Tim has proclaimed is going to be the best movie ever, like five separate times on its new release date.
I just want to go see the movie. I want to go to the theater and eat my popcorn and drink my DC and watch No Time to Die, which is an awesome name for a Bond movie, and just see it. Like, I don't even care if it's good anymore. I'll think it's good because I've wanted to see it so bad. It probably will be awesome because it's Daniel Craig's last one. And I suspect that it will just be fantastic.
What's the release date? There is none.
It's no. It's been revised to October.
Like after football season?
They have got a new revised date, I thought. Ugh.
Sounds like you're on top of it, TC.
Well, it was April. You know what? I don't know why you need to be so hateful. October 8, 2021.
Okay, so you're gonna be first in line.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I have to be first in line, but I'll be there on that Thursday night for the opening show. Absolutely, because I don't want anyone spoiling it for me. That'll be a great day. That'll probably be the first big motion picture that I see in the theaters, excluding Tenet.
What if the Jets play that Thursday?
I can DVR the. You know what? I can turn my phone off and watch the Jets game. I have to turn my phone off when the Jets play.
You can turn your phone off and miss phone movie reviews too.
Because if I am not watching a Jets game and I'm not getting any messages, it means you're doing really well. And if I am not watching a Jets game, and I just see on my phone it has a bunch of messages, it's never a good sign. Because no one is
texting
to say,
what you
hey,
mean.
Congratulations. So I just turn the phone off, which, by the way, you should do at the movie theater anyway. I don't always do it. I'll be the first to say something. I just put it on silent and put it in my pocket. But you really should turn it off. That is the classy thing to do.
People need to turn their phones on silent?
I mean, it says on those previews.
Don't most people just walk around with their phone on silent anyway? When was the last time you had the ringer on your phone?
Like, my ringer's never
8
on.
8 years ago?
Honestly, it's not the ringer that's the most... Well, it is probably more distracting, but it's just
light.
As distracting.
The light is the
light.
I'm happy
the
to
light.
See you call me, but I'll get back to you at my convenience.
Yeah, listen,
like,
I'm
if
not,
I miss it.
I am very... I cannot stand people who are texting during a movie. It really aggravates me. If you're going to text, you're not even watching the movie anyway. Might as well leave the theater.
Fair enough.
Go out into the hallway and respond to your text if it's so pressing for you. But no, I don't want. I mean, part of the theater is that it's so dark. Like, it's a part of the experience. You're ruining it for everyone.
Absolutely.
Agreed. Not that I've been in a movie theater in fucking 20 years at this point.
No, I've been in a movie theater once in the last 15 months. Twice, because I saw Knives Out just before the pandemic, which was amazing. And then
You saw Knives Out right before the pandemic. Knives Out came out like 2 years ago.
No, it came. Well, you see, that's how long this has been. It came out in December of 2019, and I saw it in like February of 2020, I think.
So you saw it after the Oscars?
No, Oscars
were around March. That time. Like the week of the Oscars.
Yeah, that makes
the
sense.
The Oscars was like an early Sunday, and I was like the week between the Super Bowl and the Oscars or something. Myself and a friend went to go see it. It was really good, too.
Yeah, I like Knives Out a lot, actually.
But he died.
Right? What's that?
Didn't he just die?
Oh,
Daniel Craig?
No, Christopher Plummer?
Oh, yeah. Andrew cursed him to death.
No, shocking. I didn't.
Yeah, you did. What was the first thing? Gentleman. You texted us that you watched one of his movies the night before you heard the news. And what fucking movie was it?
It was called Remember. And actually, you want to talk about twist endings? I don't want to spoil it for anybody because I don't know how many people have seen it. That is an excellent movie. And so I recommend, if you like twist endings, go see it.
So what year is that from?
Watch it. 2018? 2019?
Okay.
Something like that. So it's a relatively new movie.
So you
I just randomly
started watching a Christopher Plummer movie and then all of a sudden he's dead the next
day. I was flipping through Crave on the on-demand looking for a movie. And I came across it, and I saw the short little tag for what it was about. I was like, that seemed like an interesting movie. I should watch that. And I did, and I'm thoroughly glad I did. I could never watch it again, because once you know the twist, it's like watching The Sixth Sense the second time. It's kind of dumb. But the first time, it's like, oh, wow, that's really awesome.
That's the one with Helen Mirren, right?
Which one?
That the movie you're talking about?
No, the only actor that I could really name in it was Christopher Plummer. He's an elderly Jewish person who's on the hunt to kill the former commandant of Auschwitz when he was there.
And it turns out he's actually the Nazi.
You've ruined it. Beat this out. Bleep this all. I didn't see this coming.
Boy,
I didn't see this coming.
What a twist ending.
Wait, I didn't see it coming.
Because he had Alzheimer's. And he couldn't, and so he had bad Alzheimer's, and his friend sent him on the mission to do it for what he said was them, but it turned out in the end that he was actually one of the guards, and in the end he shot one of the guards and himself at the end and vindicated the other guy in the rest home who actually had been a victim of one of the camps. And I did not see it coming at all. And we should bleep this all out. This is all...
I mean, if I was able to guess the ending of a movie I had never heard of 20 seconds before, then I don't know how big of a twist it was actually going to be, Tim.
It was a huge twist. My jaw, like Bugs Bunny style, hit the floor when the twist was revealed. I didn't see it coming.
You said that you really understood the internet. You said that before when we were talking about influencers and such.
Ugh, I know where this is going. Let's just move on to football. We don't have to talk about this.
So the other day, Tim brought up, did you see it was like Roast Me Thursday, I think, on Twitter? And Wendy's was just like,
yeah, Wendy's.
Yeah, you like type in, hey, roast me, and then Wendy's would roast you. So Doug the Pug did it.
Oh, yeah.
Then Wendy's roasted Doug the Pug. It was all good for a laugh. So we all had a good laugh about it. Then Tim, like in our text thread, storming through being like, look, Wendy's is going at Doug the Pug. We're like, no, it's a roast me type thing. He's like, oh, I know what that is. Look, they're just taking shots. What a loser. And like Tim is like up on his high horse about the Wendy's Twitter account going after Doug the Pug after he asked to be roasted. And he still doesn't seem to understand what roast me is on the internet. Despite claiming over and over that he did. So were you lying?
Well, I know what roasts are. I watched the Comedy Central roasts. I know of like the Friars Club roasts that are on YouTube that you can see. Like, you know what a roast is. But this whole go roast me day, like I thought the whole purpose of it was you just challenge the other person to roast you knowing that you're never going to be able to roast me.
No, and, that is not. But so when you said that you knew what it was, you were lying.
Well, why would you want someone to roast you? I understand with the Comedy Central roasts or the Friars Club roast, it's for charity or whatever, and the money goes to good causes. That's why you do these sorts of things. But why on the Twitter would you just want somebody to make fun of you for no reason? Like, I don't, that doesn't compute to me.
Paul?
Isn't that Tim's entire Twitter existence?
Yes.
And like your group chat with your buddies.
Yeah, well. Tim is just, he's unintentionally, he's living Groundhog Day of roast me every single day.
I give as good as I get.
You don't. It was like the time that you said you dunked on the Wendy's Twitter account, but all anyone remembers is how badly they dunked on you.
Well, because you have a vested interest in only remembering that.
I know. You read your tweet, you're like, that's really stupid. Then Wendy's dunks on you about it. So this is not just a Twitter exclusive thing. This mainly just happens on Reddit. It happens on Facebook. It has been happening for a fucking decade, Tim.
I have never heard of it. Never, ever. I don't, can't even like fathom why it would be a thing. Like, why would I want someone to dunk on me?
Because it's fun. It's supposed to be fun. Who can come up with the most creative? Who can come up with the most creative roast? That's what it's all about.
I said to you, I think last week, that the Pat Mayo Experience should do a roast.
The last time I was involved in a roast, it did not go well.
I know you've told me that story, but like, I'm willing to volunteer as tribute.
Oh my God. So my Jeff, one of my friends, I mean, he's one of my best friends. He lives up here with us, but he had moved up to Toronto, the year after college. So 2008 or so, 2007 maybe, because he took a job early to come up. So his going away gift, we had a going away party. So we had a roast for him and it got mean. Awkward. Very quickly, not directed towards him, directed towards everyone else in the room. There was a fight that broke out. Like, it was not, don't do a roast with your friends. It can get very personal and very mean very quickly.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
So I would suggest not doing a roast for people. Maybe we'll just turn this one into its own episode and then we'll just make it a short for Friday or something like this. But what else do I have? You know, Tim's afraid to use the stairs at his house.
I don't get it.
He's afraid to go down the stairs at his house, like on the side.
There's an outdoor flight of stairs that I fell down last year. And it was in the winter.
So you broke your phone?
No, that was a different time. I was carrying my jug to get my water filled up last year.
Well, you have an outdoor well? What do you mean?
No, like my water cooler jug was empty. So I was taking it to the store to fill it up. And I was walking down the stairs by the outside of my house. And the stairs were a little icy and I didn't see it because I was holding the bottle. And if you're holding the bottle, it's hard to look down while you're walking. And I missed a step. I slipped on some ice and down the stairs I went.
Ow, once bitten, twice shy.
Yes, exactly. I am now like terrified to go down these stairs unless it's like perfect conditions and it's dry. I'll go up the stairs. I've fallen upstairs many times and that doesn't scare me as much. But down the stairs, I'm sorry, it's just, I can't get it out of my head. Every time I walk by those stairs, I just imagine what could have happened if I had fallen in the wrong way. And they scare me to death. I'm sorry. That's just a fact of the matter. I don't know why that's funny. I'm sure everybody has experiences like this where you do something, you go, oh my God, that was dangerous. I won't do that again. Or I respect that a little more. We all do that.
The only thing I really have that is with Kahlua. Can't drink Kahlua. Went a bit too hard on
Kahlua. I bet you the next time you're sitting on a roof, you'll be darn sure that your chair isn't too far back so you don't fall off of it again.
Well, I mean, I don't really remember too much of that, so that doesn't really bother me.
But you remember having done it. I guarantee you would think about it and be extra cautious.
No, I'm not like you. I don't live my life like as a coward and scared of everything.
I'm not cowardly.
You are cowardly. You're afraid to go driving in the snow today.
It wasn't snow. It was freezing rain, and I don't have studded tires.
Who has studded tires?
People.
Who?
I guarantee you there's
Name
lots of
one people fucking person you know who has studs on their place, tires.
So those aren't winter tires?
No, like they're winter tires with like studs on them. Have you ever seen these in real life?
Pretty sure they're illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Like outside of the Arctic.
No, they're not illegal. I know people that have them.
If who? You live the in a who? Belt. Name one.
Ruin the roads.
I knew people who I worked
name one.
With who had.
Studded name one.
I'm not going to name them.
No, you don't fucking know anyone.
I do know. And they sell studded tires everywhere.
Like ambulances? Like a couple ambulances
no.
In the fleet? Like what
studded
are you talking
tires
about?
Don't have like the, like, they aren't like spikes.
I'm picturing they're like a chain like link. Tiny metal like around.
Yeah, he watched the movie Mad Max and he's like, that's how everyone's tires are.
No, it's again, you don't know what you're talking about.
It sounds like you don't know what you're talking about.
There's quite a few people in the winter, particularly if you live in a slightly remote area where it gets a lot of snow, where it makes
which
a
you
lot
don't.
Of sense. I don't, which is why I don't have them. But I know people who live by like where your mom's cottage is. They would almost all have studded tires.
I mean, my mom doesn't, and she basically lives out there full time.
Yeah, but if you were going back and
forth. But yeah, not her, though. Everyone else, I bet.
Of people. My grandmother used to live not far from there. She had studded tires.
Apparently, Tim, I hate to break it to you, but I don't think your grandmother is a good barometer for how most people live.
Well, I think she's an average person, and if she did it, then a lot of other people did it, too.
She's like 80.
Yeah, but even 15 years ago or 20 years, I'm just saying, you think it's like some weird thing that nobody has.
It is. And the three of us.
You live in downtown Toronto.
Tim, I'm from the same place you are. Paul is not from downtown Toronto either. So what are you talking about?
You're in downtown Toronto. You've forgotten that a good many people are permitted.
No, they are not permitted, Tim. I'm sorry you can't read.
Well, they are in Northern Ontario.
You're allowed to drive.
But Southern Ontario.
If you're in Southern Ontario coming from Northern Ontario with them, you have 30 days to remove your tires. Otherwise, you would... So a cop would pull you over if he sees studded tires. Meaning they're basically illegal.
But I wouldn't call Hamilton or...
Hamilton south of Toronto.
They're talking North Bay and North.
Yeah, I know.
Which is really
Thunder Bay, Sudbury. Those places are Northern Ontario. Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't consider like somewhere like Kingston to be so remote that you would ever want them anyway.
So basically, if you live in a place where no one lives, you're allowed to have studded tires, and you don't know anyone who lives in any of these places, so you're making it all up.
So, no, I know people who live in remote areas.
You know, like three people.
I know people who have studded tires. They're not the most popular thing by any means, but there are people who have them. And if you don't have them, they are trickier to maneuver on ice and snow.
So where you live, no one has them, yet you were afraid to go driving because you don't have them?
It was like a skating rink this afternoon. I wasn't going out there and fishtailing all over the place. No, thank you.
Oh, my God. Get over yourself, pal. You live in Canada.
You know I don't like to drive in bad winter weather.
You don't like to drive anyway, it seems, because whenever we drive with you, people just yell at you to go faster the entire time.
Whatever.
Tim also won't turn his air conditioning up to max AC in the middle of summer because it ruins the engine, according to Tim.
I believe
that. It doesn't ruin it. It just makes it work too hard.
Paul?
I believe so. The staircase that he fell down.
Yeah,
you were going out to buy water. Is that what you just said?
Correct. Correct.
Why don't you just fill it up out of the tap? I know that we've went over this before,
I'm not. That's gross. No, thank you.
It's gross. Tap water's gross to you.
But also,
it has a taste.
Isn't it your job to do the shoveling? So maybe you just did a bad job, and that's why you slipped.
No, it was just a day where there was some ice down. Like, it was like there had been some sleet or whatever.
Okay.
And so I fell on it. I wasn't paying attention to my footholds as well as I should have been. Because I was distracted. And I fell. And so I'm anxious about those stairs. You would be too.
No.
Yes, you would.
Listen, you say that, but again, I don't live in fear like you do.
I don't live in fear.
It sounds like you live in fear. You sound like a coward.
I'm just a very aware person.
You're not. Yeah, you know how many times I've fallen down the stairs growing up in my grandmother's house? Didn't stop me from going down the stairs. Boom, head first.
Well, no, but I would go.
I've fallen off of a roof in downtown Manhattan. I went back up on the roof the next day.
You send us a picture of these stairs. Like, how steep are we talking?
They're not.
They're not.
They're not super steep, but like I would say they're like a normal gradient for a set of stairs.
Well, we can shift the blame over to Jeff on this one. Do you know that Jeff is buying more Herberts, Tim?
Well, I saw that he attempted to make a big Herbert purchase the other night after his big cash on Daniel Berger, but it came to naught.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, yeah.
And I tried to buy a big card. No, I wanted to buy a big card earlier in the week, and I didn't because I need to save all my eggs for that card, and I didn't get either. So now
like an authentic Rose Bowl patch card? Or
no, I got three of those. So yeah, now I just got money to spend. I'm like a GM who's looking for free agents. I can't seem to find anyone. I keep
Rose Bowl patch cards.
Like, I can't. Like, I can't.
The True Cross. Do you have?
I can't put. Like you've been seeing me ask to buy cards, like Herbert's for sale on Twitter multiple times, but I can't. I've been able to buy a card. Is my point. And I don't think I've bought much at all since I was in here last, like showing off a couple months ago. I actually did a bit of a break. Prices were pretty high. He was being the man. But now that we're in the off season, history shows this might be a good time. So I'm trying to capitalize. And people, by the way, people want to buy credit. Gifts and crypto kitties. So
I assume that's what you're doing.
No.
Are you sure you're not waiting?
What are crypto kitties?
We don't need to break down everything for you, Tim. Tim's the kind of guy who gets tired waiting in line for his top shots.
Yeah,
I don't know what those really are either. But I wanted to give Jeff credit for his call on Justin Herbert because I mocked him as much as Pat did.
Tim,
but I haven't had the opportunity.
Tim, here's
to give
the thing.
Him his credit.
Jeff has been glad-handed about this. He's been given his credit. Unlike
not
you,
from me.
He doesn't need to be reminded of it every 10 seconds in order he doesn't feel validated anymore. He won his huge bet.
See, that's
he
the difference the between, ticket. I guess, Tim needs credit because he doesn't bet on things. I don't need your credit because I bet it. The sportsbook paid me for it. And that's all I need. Like that, you know what I mean? I'm not looking for props. Tim gets no real.
I didn't
real,
say you were looking for
no,
it.
No, but Tim gets no real currency when he does call something right. So therefore, he needs extra like pats on the back for them.
But it doesn't stop with him. It just goes and goes and goes. It's like, hey, great call, Tim. You were right. And then like 3 days later, what about that time I was right? Remember that?
Anyway, I didn't mean to turn Tim giving me props into us picking on Tim. Thank you.
I've literally tried to do a good deed because I was just as bad as Pat by making fun of you for it. And I just wanted to come say, on full accountability, you were right and you deserve credit. But of course, that couldn't stand. It had to be twisted against me for something I didn't do.
But it's all Tim's. I mean, Tim gets the credit for your win on the Herbert, really. He's the one who traded for Joe Burrow in our Dynasty Keeper League, and then he blew out his knee the next week.
So that is very true. Thank you, Tim. So, I'm looking in the market to buy a couple high-end Herberts to launder the windfall, I guess. But I will let you know.
You
I
don't
gave
need
some
to launder,
people.
You live in Canada.
Yeah,
it's not taxable.
I'll give you. I teased on our golf show this week.
I know.
That I had, like, you just thought I was collecting cards and that was where my attachment to Herbert ended. That is not where it ended. I've taken it probably above and beyond so many steps. So I don't just invest. What's that, Tim?
Get the bleep ready in case you're about to admit some sort of crime.
No crime at all, actually.
I hired the following private investigator to go through his trash and... Here's what he found for me.
No, but let's just say as everyone got really excited with these short-term stocks and like cash windfalls.
Like GameStop?
Yeah, like all that stuff. Their AMCs.
Tim took every cent he owned and bought at the top.
I would believe that because he watched like one segment and thought it can't end.
Can't lose.
I have invested... I have bought a lot of stock in a company that Justin Herbert invested $20 million in.
How does Justin Herbert have $20 million?
Is that like his whole signing bonus?
No, his signing bonus isn't that big, is it? And of course, he would have to pay taxes on it. How the hell does he have $20 million?
Sorry. Well, I'll say...
Very leveraged.
Does he come from money? Is he like your boy, Mav McNeely?
He could probably borrow off the equity from the money that they know he's going to get paid on his contract.
Sure, but you invest every single cent you have in a company that Jeff is... Did you not read this all the way through?
No, what do you mean? I'm excited.
Where is he getting this money from?
Well, I don't know. His family is rich. He's worth a lot of money. I don't know.
It's a lot of money for you guys played
what's
1 year in the
Jeff?
NFL. Yeah, what's the company?
Well, the company is a health food snack that many of you guys, healthy food guys, might be familiar with.
I guarantee
Strive.
You I am not.
But the corporation is called Andina Acquisition Corp.
Okay, so that's it's the like stock. My it's like my shell company.
Yeah,
above Mayo Media Network.
Yeah, so they gained notoriety for some biltong, and yeah, I don't know. Apparently, it's a good company, but
because Herbert said so.
Well, listen,
was he The Rock?
He's a 4-year All-American, All-Academic biology major, and his dad's very bright. So that's my investment counsel.
Me and it's that doesn't seem like terrible advice after I see some people like on Twitter being like, you need to buy this right now.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's a not, stock. Not a good it's idea. A long-term investment. Someone told me that there is a merger coming. I don't know if that's like.
Is that insider trading?
I don't know.
So maybe we do need
this
to get
this is what
the
I
button.
Mean when I said get the bleep ready. Say something illegal was said.
Yeah. Listen, this is where I want to be. Channing Tatum's involved big too.
Okay. Is this the new vitamin water?
No, I don't know, but I am like
you're in.
I, me and Justin
is this
will
like the is this the fire festival?
Me and Justin will ride or die together on and off the football field.
Okay, you've now
so it's not just
state your financial future on Justin Herbert.
I mean, not. I mean, I a good piece of how do I put this? A lot of my successful 2020, yes, got invested into Justin Herbert.
Okay.
But
is this a family decision, Jeff, or did you make this one on your own?
You know, everything now when you're married, she like I did it, and she because she's a very diligent woman. I was gonna say girl, but I guess woman is appropriate. Very diligent. Like I'll just sign things. She likes to read.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
That's like which my is, wife. She's always like, you got to read that. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I just want to sign. I want to read it.
Yeah. Like, so she's very diligent. And a few days after we made the investment, yeah, I just told her about it. I guess she did her own reading up on it. And she called me to be like, so we invested in this company because of Justin Herbert. She also... But then the stock dipped, and she thought she suggested we should buy more.
Oh, buy the dip. Always buy the dip.
So, listen. So, there it is. We are in it together, and I'm, yeah, that's it.
Paul.
Yeah,
Jeff, just wondering if you've ever seen this documentary.
Okay.
In terms of taking financial advice from, you know, athletes.
Well, that's like in fairness, Jeff isn't investing in his brother-in-law's car wash.
Yeah. Fair.
Like in defense, those are guys that do things that depreciate like 38% the moment they buy them, like a car and custom-made jewels.
No, it's not that sort of. I mean, Tyson went broke with that sort of stuff, and Don King was stealing.
Yeah, it's
from
like
him.
A bad investment. Car washes.
It,
right?
Yeah, it's
Don King would walk into fights with bags full of $1 bills to make it look like he was getting a lot more of the cut than he was getting.
Smart.
They're buying like bad property, like
yeah.
things that were like like apartment buildings that were just
they got
flat
taken
out
advantage
apart.
Of. They get taken advantage of and
by family and friends.
I don't want
to
be.
Isn't that what happened to T.O.? Didn't T.O.
Yeah,
get invested?
I don't want to be.
And then he got
rude.
Shit talked by CT on that
fine.
Stars versus Chance.
How many of those guys were academic All-Americans?
Well, I don't know.
I would say like under 1%.
Also,
no, I'm not saying that they can't go broke. Listen,
rate amongst athletes now, far lower. Very rarely happens. The education is now in place for
so what? It was like those 90 athletes that were like getting these like.
Yeah.
Because even in the 80s, they were getting paid well. But like somewhere in the 90s, it hit a whole new level of what these guys were making and the terms they were getting.
Yeah.
And what?
It appeared like a lot of the people just couldn't say no.
So what, now teams protect them? There's like courses from the teams
like
or their agents? It's like a whole thing?
The agents, the rookie orientations. Yeah. I believe that the like financial people that you end up getting hooked up with to properly invest your money or what you should do with your money need to be like approved.
League certified.
Yeah,
like,
league
even
certified
the leagues
that
look
like
into
you're
them.
Not
you're
the
right.
biggest scumbag in the world just
you're
trying
right.
to steal this guy's money.
You're right. Yeah, the league even...
I think that's a PA thing.
Yeah, no, that makes...
Which makes a ton of sense.
Makes a ton of sense. Although we'll still always hear just sad, sad stories.
Yeah. There's real sad stories, but you know, some people just choose to do stupid things with their money.
I agree. I feel like this one is a little different. I won't end up like Lenny Dykstra.
Is he in jail?
No, he's just like making creepy phone calls to the Howard Stern show.
Okay.
That's pretty much
you want to end up like Bobby Bonilla being paid $1.15 million for the next 50 years on July 1st or whatever.
I always find it funny on Bobby Bonilla Day, you always get the one asshole. He's like, you know, he'd be better off if he had taken the lump sum because he could have made more on that in the investments over time.
And I have
it's, like, it's hilarious that he just gets cut a check for basically like $2 million every year. It's like winning that set for life thing where you take the lump sum because you
came so close the other day.
Yeah, I'm sure you did, Tim. Don't you come close on every scratch ticket that you play?
No, not always, but I was like one scratch away from a really big hit.
Great. That's how those tickets are made.
Apparently Tim's so bad at scratch tickets, he doesn't even buy the ones where he gets close.
So it's I'd like to correct myself because this was written up in Forbes. So like just so I have the numbers right.
Forbes with a Z.
No, the actual Forbes. Private investors, including Hollywood actor Channing Tatum and rookie phenom LA Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert, have reportedly poured in $42.5 million at $10 per share into the transaction.
So it's a group of Channing Tatum, Justin Herbert, and others who put in all this money. So Herbert didn't put in $20 million.
No. That's why I just wanted to confirm.
Okay. That makes a bit more sense.
Yeah.
I just don't think he would have $20 million liquid cash invested into something already.
So I went back to the article.
Johnson owned the Dodgers.
No, of course. But I bet you he's in for at least like 3 or 4 or 5. But I guess that makes he might have that liquid.
I don't think that he would.
I might.
I don't think so. Unless it's like family money. I don't think from his playing days plus. So he has a year worth of contract. The signing bonus for the rookies isn't that huge. Highly taxable. I don't think his endorsements are all that high as of yet. And you have to think that he probably bought a house and like all that
stuff. So what are you saying? I'm invested more than him?
Maybe. That's the point I was trying to get at.
How amazing would that be? How amazing would that be?
At least you used all your money that you won from betting him Rookie of the Year to invest.
Listen, I can't lose everything.
I mean, you could.
Sure, it's like a stock, though. There's like a drip. It's not like a bet.
Well, it is. I mean, the company could get out of business, and then it's worth nothing.
I understand it's like a bet. You just like, and I make Herbert a bet.
Herbert would be out is like $3,000 that I invested in.
I make a bet on Team A or Team B, like the game ends, like either double or lose it all. Like stocks, you know.
Yeah, there's margins of losses.
Yeah, there's margins.
It's like me playing DraftKings. I'll be in for like $500, and some weeks I'll win like $700 off my $500, so up $200.
Anyway,
but other weeks I'll lose $300, but I'll get some back.
I just want the people to know that I've taken
your ride or die.
Yeah, we've taken it a new level.
Leveling up with Herbert.
Yeah, we're in, and I trust his judgment.
Do you now? Nothing like taking financial advice from a 22-year-old.
It's not like taking Portnoy's. No, I'm just saying. Like, I trust his judgment, his advisors.
You he love seems Portnoy. Like
I'm a huge Portnoy's fan of Portnoy.
Your guy.
I don't do stocks for Portnoy. I don't really do stocks, period.
Except for Herbert stocks.
Now I am in. Yeah, listen, I have my own like long term stocks. I have some great Peloton stock. I have stocks, but I don't like do stocks. I don't look at stocks. Like I don't do that thing where you got to like watch it all day.
Well, no, I was hoping you'd become one of those guys where you just tweeted about the stock market 84 times a day.
Yeah, those
letting
those
everyone dollars. Know what you're up to. And then be like, you don't need to take my advice on this, but like, here's every thought I've ever had about the stock market.
No.
Yeah, those are real fun follow.
I have some nice stock positions, but they're like long-term investments. That's what I see this as. He's wearing the t-shirt on all his rounds, so he's, you know, good promotion.
You need to get him in on them. Maybe
I got to actually be honest.
Mayo Media Network.
Post my making my investment, it does seem like the company was is being investigated for something. So there's been a bit of a dip, but it seems like it's all under your control.
It'll be okay. It's all on the up and up. Paul?
I said buy the dip.
Yeah, we did. I told you, we did.
What if you just cash it all out for Bitcoin or that Dogecoin that everyone's into now? Tim, do you have much Dogecoin yet?
Zero. I don't understand that world. And honestly, I don't want to understand that world. There were only
they want you to not understand it though, right?
Great. I have no opinions. My brain can only absorb so much information, and I know enough about enough things that I'm just not interested in, like, determining why it is that basketball gifts that you don't own, you own. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. I just don't need to know about how electronic coins that are being mined on a computer are your currency. I just don't need to know. I just don't care. I just have other things in life I'm interested in, and I'm not interested in making time for that too. Well, so, you know, go with God, do what you want. I don't need to know, and I don't care about.
Paul posed an interesting theory about Top Shots to me earlier today, Jeff, where do you think that the site is intentionally crashing, thus increasing the demand for it? Because all people do now is just talk about it nonstop.
So it was like a 4-hour like Twitter promotion waiting room yesterday.
Nobody is actually talking about it. Like 0.00001% of people on Earth know what these things
are. So you're finally acknowledging what is happening in your Twitter feed isn't actually what's happening in the world?
Fringe. It's incredibly fringe, but it's becoming incredibly valuable, and the demand keeps going up for it because they've basically done this potential covert marketing opportunity where their system keeps crashing, and then people on Twitter continue to talk about it, and then it starts to trend, and then more people hear about it and say, what the fuck is this thing all about? Let me see what it is. You know what it is crazy.
Paul pointed me to the feed.
I'm almost 3 seconds away from, like, muting the word Top Shots.
Yes, because you keep hearing about it.
Paul sent me to a message yesterday just to read the replies of, like, angry people.
He sent the same one to us, and it was very dark. And I had a couple of laughs, and then I went, oh my God, these people.
These are adults.
They just had my, in the end, they just had my pity.
Pat, like,
you're the same person who off the top of the show said you were going to go to McDonald's and yell at the manager.
I never said I would yell. Pancakes.
Listen, I'm a collector. I collect things. I get, like, the sense of their value and being able to open a pack and then being able to, I guess, sell things for more value.
But you can't sell them, though.
Well, you can't cash out.
And you can't actually touch them or feel them.
Weird to me is people are waiting hours to buy a $12 pack that they can then sell for, like, $35. Like, I guess the goal is to, like, open the pack and find, like,
the super expensive one?
How do you open it? It's not a thing.
You hit a button, and then I think your card is, like,
reveal it.
Yeah, reveal. Okay, it's revealed.
You know what? Your pack is revealed. I shouldn't have asked. I don't care. I think it's really boring. I think it's dumb. And I don't think there's any uptake for it. That's my opinion. I don't care about it.
The weirdest part about it is I've seen these people, like, really have these really... It's like the future of, like, showing off your home art and, like, your digital art. And literally it's like from Demolition Man, like, we're in the future and, like, people have these gifts, like, appearing off, like, a stand. You might have, like,
so it'd be like a hologram.
Yeah. Like, kind of just like in your, like, living room or something.
Oh, that's interesting.
How stupid does that sound?
I don't know, man.
Hologram sounds pretty awesome. Can I buy the Tupac hologram?
No, I'm just saying there is, like, because I'm like, this whole, like, digital art, so what? You own something and it's going to sit, like, in a file on your laptop? And there's, like, now this whole, there's this whole, like, future market on, like, these cool futuristic ways to like, show off your digital art.
So it's an investment, especially an early adoption of a potential technology that doesn't exist yet.
Well, obviously, this is, like, a side element to that, because people are, like, because people who do like to own them and have them, like, if you're a collector, you like to show off your art, your sports memorabilia, your jerseys on a wall, your paintings.
Let me put it this way.
So, like, if you're a collector and you own these things, they're trying to find ways where you can, like, display them to people that
here's
come
how
through
I look
your
at
home or something. I don't know.
So, can you explain this to us from you, the guy who collects Batman Forever cups from the mid-90s?
No, listen. All I can say is, particularly with these cards, if P.T. Barnum was alive today, he'd be selling them. Let's put it that way.
I don't know. The biggest thing is there's a market.
What does that mean? The circus would be in
yeah,
on
but
it?
P.T.
Barnum was a very unethical salesman.
But he also showed off to, like, the lower end of people. He took advantage of the dummies. The people that are buying
these very famously charged people $1 to see the egress. And egress is another word for an exit. And so people were paying him a dollar to walk through an exit door.
No, people buying this are like ultra disposable income highfalutin, like highfalutin DFS equity in a lot of these like sites that people are members on. These are the type of people that I see playing in the higher echelon. Now I see a lot of people, just like everyday DFS players who aren't part of that group, desperately trying to wait in those queues and buy those packs, though. That those guys will then buy the expensive cards off you for.
It's just living the life online. But if you're sitting at your computer all day,
I don't mind being in a queue for. If you're at your desk working, there's no shame in being in a queue for something.
No, that's true. On my Twitter, I'm muting them now. I'm done with them. They're just it's just so uninteresting.
Should we buy in
now? I think we do. I think we need to buy in. Buy some Top Shots. Can you get your money out of the Herbert vitamin water and we'll just invest it in this?
Can you imagine? Honestly, this is now like people trying to hit their sell orders as they hear or buy orders on Top Shots as Tim is trashing it.
I'm not saying it will be valuable or unvaluable. I honestly couldn't care less. I think it's all foolishness. Have at it. I mean, it's the same thing when Beanie Babies were worth $10,000 for a rare one. Sure. But in the end, it's not really anything. So have at it. Like, it's forced scarcity and it's boring and it's a fad and great. Enjoy it. And maybe it'll stay longer than others. But like, it's so supremely boring and uninteresting and uncool that I don't care about it.
Well, I don't think you're the arbiter of cool.
It's only
I am for my own self.
It's
that's
only
all that matters
worth those prices to the right buyer, right? Like, to me and you or anybody here. Yeah, around. Value is always relative.
Well, sure, that's true of any marketplace.
Well, if you don't like the digital sports packs, Jeff, did you see that Tim Hortons, which is the major coffee franchise in Canada, ubiquitous up here, they run a contest every single year called Roll Up the Rim. And what you do is you buy your coffee and then you get a special one and then you roll up the rim to see if you've won a free coffee or a donut or $25,000 or whatever it might be. It's huge. People love Roll Up the Rim. Would you agree?
Yes.
Roll Up the Rim.
I love it.
Yeah, Tim loves it. Roll Up the Rim in 2021, exclusively digital.
It was in 2020 as well.
So did you use it?
Of course. I downloaded the app.
Amazing.
It was not nearly
they
as
have
fun.
Your email and they love you and it worked for them.
It was
pal.
Not nearly as much fun. And I would wait till my coffee was finished before I would do the
digital. So you know how it revealed? That's sort of like opening your Top Shot pack.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's a reveal. Okay. It's a reveal.
But I didn't actually roll it up. Like, to use the verb to roll to describe what I was doing on my phone is like an imprecise use of language.
You're going to have an impact on Top Shots like Elon Musk had on Bitcoin.
And also Tim on Bitcoin, who's very anti-Bitcoin, then said that publicly and it went way up.
Yeah, I don't support the concept of it. You're right. But again, my life is full of enough things that I just don't have time to cram into it.
What do you mean you don't have time? Would you spend all day just being afraid to walk down the stairs and not drink Diet Coke?
No, I have
Diet Coke. I have with your Valentine.
That takes 2 seconds to retweet. 2 seconds. There's other things I'm interested in and that I'm passionate about, and I just don't care about this weird stuff online. And if people make a ton of money, good for them. And if people lose a ton of money, buyer beware. I don't care.
You don't care if people lose money, Tim? That's not fair.
I don't wish people ill will. I don't wish people goodwill. I don't care what they do with this thing. Do what you want with it. But I just think it's really uncool and really boring. And I'm just not going to have my mind changed on this.
I'm beginning to think we're not going to do AFC win totals.
You think?
Do you have any topics for us then to close us out?
Well, I mean, yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
There's one, and I'm puzzling as to why this is the case. Everywhere you go for fast food, the go-to side with a hamburger is French fries 100% of the time. But onion rings are objectively better than French fries. Only one or two places have onion rings. And if you're ever given the option, do you want fries or onion rings? People inevitably will pick onion rings. And if they didn't pick it, they'll regret looking at the person who did pick them that they didn't pick them.
Don't all places but McDonald's have them? Like, who doesn't have onion rings other than McDonald's, who has the best fries?
But they're never the go-to in a combo, ever, ever. If you say, I'm going to have a Whopper combo, it always comes with fries.
I can answer this very easily.
cheaper?
No, it's A, think about the approval rating between potatoes and onions. There are some people who just despise onions.
Yeah.
So they just off the hop don't like onion rings. Onion rings also, especially on the go, a lot messier than fries are. Fries are very easy.
No, they aren't.
They're thin. You go like this. You can have them in the bag. You're going like this.
Are my onion rings like flaky or
yeah, and then like yeah. If you don't eat it, like if it's not cooked like the perfect crispiness, then the onion sags out of it, gets on your face. Like onion rings are fine. I don't mind them. I much prefer fries.
Oh, I think that's crazy talk.
Here my problem is.
Yeah, but you like things that no one likes.
I could take down like my whole. I could eat my whole own order of fries. I only want like one or two onion rings.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, like that was really yummy.
Harvey's has that option.
Okay, yes, they do.
But Jeff's not allowed at Harvey's.
No, that's right. He won't wear a mask.
After. Dude. After dark, I can go to Harvey's. I think that guy just works the day shift, okay? But he's also mean and intimidating, so I choose not to go back.
You feel bullied by your local fast food establishment?
See, it's okay.
Jeff's afraid of that. I'm afraid of the stairs. Everyone has their own.
I live around plenty of fast food.
But not those 2 for $6 Harvey's, though.
I am with you, though. One or two onion rings by themselves are nice. And I prefer a tighter onion ring. Because some onion rings come, like the onion that is used to be fried is just too thick to begin with. And not necessarily.
Oh, yeah, the proportion's got to be right.
Yeah, like I would want, almost like how McDonald's fries are so good generally, because they stay crispy because they're a certain, like.
Shoestring?
Like McDonald's only uses the center of potatoes. So there's different grades of potatoes when you go to different restaurants. It's like if you go to your local, like, pizza shop and you get wings and fries or something like that instead of getting pizza one time, you'll notice that their fries have, like, part of the peel on them on the outside. Because
and they'll call them wedges.
No, not necessarily wedges. But
no,
like,
no, just they're cutting the whole potato.
Exactly. So, but they're not cutting the whole potato. What they're actually doing is buying the potatoes from, let's say, like the offshoot of the potato that McDonald's doesn't acquire. Because McDonald's only has the center of the potato, so it never really has the outside on it. So there's different grades of potatoes you can buy if you're a restaurant. And with onion rings, you can do – it's really hard to fuck up fries. Like, even bad fries, they're generally passable. You can fuck up onion rings pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. The Burger King onion rings, for example, are just terrible. Just terrible.
Well, that's like 80% of their menu.
Fair enough. But, like, believe it or not, Dairy Queen makes a fantastic onion ring.
But then you go to, like, a place like the, A&W's
great, too.
Like your, oh, A&W does have a good ring.
It's the seasoning really makes the difference. On
I asked for – that's the only place I actually ask for extra seasoning.
So do I.
I would buy it. I would buy it.
Onion rings you're better off getting from a non-fast food place.
See, that's literally what I was saying. The best onion rings that I know of are like non-chain and they literally are like a donut.
Yeah, they're like the greasiest things on earth.
No, but they're like this – it's this place called Burger Shack. In town here, man, it's one of those places that looks like it's still in the 70s. Like,
so
60s,
you're saying
70s.
You swan around like the CNE would have good onion rings in?
Yes, the CNE would
exactly.
have good
yeah,
onion
there
rings.
Would be a place. Well, you get like, well, I don't want to say knockoff Bloomin' Onions, but you get like a Bloomin' Onion type thing at the CNE. It's awesome.
That's too much onion for me, and I like
Yeah, it. Exactly. I only want like 2 or 3 pieces. I don't know what to do with the whole thing.
I want my order.
Yeah, but you have no self-control, as we've been through.
Well, no, I have self-control.
If me and my wife will, like, do a fast food night, and, like, it'll be, like, 2 combos, we'll do, like, 1 fries, 1 onion rings, and split them, and it works perfectly. I like putting an onion ring in my burger, too.
I can get on board with that. I would just prefer to have, like, a real onion on my burger.
Yeah, but it's got to be cooked. I like my onions cooked really, really well.
Oh, see, I would prefer like a red onion. Just give me a thin slice of that. Put it on.
That's
there.
A bit too strong. It overpowers the food.
It doesn't overpower the food. That's why you cut it thin.
It does.
It doesn't. It's there to bring out the taste of the other food, Tim. That's what onions are basically for on all of this stuff.
Yeah, but these things all depend on the dosage and how much you're using it. Like
But you have no taste buds and can't cook, so it's really a double whammy for you.
Just every time I go to a fast food place, I never think of the onion rings until like I'm on my way home. And I think to myself, dang, you know what? I wish I'd ordered onion rings.
You should have put it in your journal, buddy.
It just seems like, and this is, again, this is only my personal experience. But if you go to a restaurant with people or friends and they're ordering, and like at a golf course, for example, and everyone's ordering like a burger and fries after 9, which happens sometimes or between rounds. and people are ordering, the last guy says, I'll have onion rings with that. Inevitably, when your meals come to the table, someone will say, darn it, I wish I'd gotten the onion ring.
No, like annoyed no, that is not true. People will say, can I have an onion
ring? Yeah, I just need one.
Yeah, I'm good.
But I want a plate of French fries. I just want one onion ring.
Also, who gets fries at the turn? Like, you get a hot dog or a burger and be on your way. Something you can bring in the cart with you. You're not bringing fries into a golf cart.
No, but I mean, it depends. If you're a member, then you have lots of time between when you tee off for the back nine. You don't care.
Like, I will say, normally if you're a member, it's just you're just there to golf. And you, like, will do that stuff after.
Before or
you
after.
Could do.
That's sort of like what I...
But, well, between.
It's like, who does it between? Who breaks up their nine with a giant... that,
no, one in between rounds. You may be playing a double round.
Oh, that... Well, that's
that pretty, you can do. That, I just don't know anyone at the turn who's playing 18s being like, load me up.
Honestly, to think of the next time I'll have a day where I could have enough free time. Not that I'm busy, but that, like, I could get away from the house
and to play 18,
eat a meal... And then go play like another 9 or 18. Whew. That'd be the life.
Yeah, well, welcome to 20 years from now when your Herbert investment pays off and you can just retire.
What is the life? I've done it a couple. I do it a couple of times a year where I play.
Yeah, you don't have a wife or kids or any responsibility. No,
but the people I'm playing with have wives and children and
responsibilities. You're right. I could probably pull it off. My wife is like, no. Sorry, I probably couldn't pull it off. My wife, like.
You just have one Saturday other month. You're like, this is the Saturday from like 9 to 6. I'm not going to be home sort of thing.
No, if I really want to do something, like, listen, I got buddies who like, seems like they can't do anything.
That would be me.
But like if your favorite like band was in town or something and you like wanted to go, you like wouldn't be allowed.
No, I would. But like, especially it's on something like a Saturday. Now, you would, and probably a lot of people you know, would have the benefit of being like, oh, I'll drop the kids off with the grandparents. Oh, yeah,
if my wife was like, no, you can't do that, okay, well, I'm just going to call my mom. Yeah, but she'll take
care of the kids. We don't have that. Like, there's two of us, and we have two kids. And my wife would probably be pretty mad at being like, yeah, I'm leaving at 9 o'clock this morning. I'll be back when they're going down to bed. Enjoy. Have fun with them all day.
You just switch from man to man to zone, right?
Oh, yeah. Do you know a lot about parenting, Tim?
No, of course, I'm being facetious. I'm being, of course, I suspect that would be complicated.
You know what? But I'm sure there are. The way that walking downstairs stresses you out is like basically my entire Saturday and Sunday.
I bet, though, there have been days where there must have been a day or at least an afternoon or two where it's just been you by yourself with the two little guys or vice versa.
Absolutely. And it's fine, but it's not. Yeah. But that's not something we make a regular occurrence.
No. You would make a point of, okay, this is the day I need to do X, Y, Z, and therefore sort of thing. Yeah.
And I probably like wouldn't waste it on playing 27 holes of golf.
Listen, as far as
that would be worth it.
Yeah, because you have nothing going on.
My wife might feel differently, but like I am owed so many Sundays where I'm just allowed to be gone for 7 hours with my friends after being home for an entire football season's worth of Sundays. She would probably argue differently, but oh, I can't wait. Oh, man, it's a new calendar year. We'll do that. When we do the AFC stuff, when we redo that stuff or talk about it.
Should we shoot a new intro to the show?
I don't really know what you should do.
I think it's actually funnier if you don't.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, but you're not the one who has to deal with, you guys didn't even talk about football. Yeah,
there's going to be someone's going to listen to the whole thing.
See, but to me, that's really funny to me. Because like,
I get that it's funny to you. This is also my company and my business. This is how I make a living.
I mean,
okay, I mean, we were right about the Browns.
Like I wouldn't call
there is no SEO for this show, by the way.
No, I mean the podcast. You might as well just call this a corner, essentially.
That's what I was thinking. I was going to reshoot the intro to this with you two and just call it Cussed Corner,
which is fine. But like, at least keep the little intro in where you said you're going to talk about Witt, because that makes it funny.
No, it doesn't, because then like, people will just be confused. Because put it this way, the people that have made it to 1 hour and 22 minutes into the show are the people that logged off the moment we weren't talking about football and like got really triggered about it.
Did they download the episode and watch?
Probably not, no.
If they downloaded the episode, great.
Well, Tim, A, the audio audience is not the same as the video audience.
You don't want to piss them off either. I'm a vindictive listener too, I think.
There you go.
Like, they're like, I'm like, no, they really.
I'm not. There are podcasts that I will listen to and will never, ever, ever stop listening to.
You're right. There are those. And there are ones that, like they could piss me off.
You got triggered over Bill Simmons and you were tweeting at the end.
I have been listening to Bill Simmons since 2007. I am an original listener. He'll talk about things that annoy me or I don't like, but there's nothing he can do to make me stop listening.
In the chutzpah of that guy telling me Justin Herbert's going to the New York Giants.
When I heard that, Jeff, I thought of you immediately.
Congratulations, Giants fans. Your quarterback problems for 4 years from now are taken care of.
And of all the teams he would pick to poach the quarterback, it would be the Giants. Like, again, really? Like
he's trust me, he has got something against I guess someone in the Spanos family, because like six coaches later,
he lives in LA.
No, he was making fun of, if you've been listening to him forever, he was merciless to every part of the Chargers, from Marty to Norvell.
Jeff, look around.
No. Hold on. No.
Have they proved him wrong?
No. Hold on. You are not wrong, but and I get it. And I listen to. I love my NFL Live and my NFL Entertainment. I can sense when there's like an above and beyond, and he does it.
Is that where your psychology minor comes into play?
No, he does it. There's something there. It's okay. We're those boys that make their models. We are gonna blast off. People are gonna be so amazed at like what is gonna go down.
What if I weigh in on
it? We might not win the games, but like you will be so impressed from a competence.
They're gonna be
and
the number. They're gonna have the best
process.
They're gonna finish 6-10, but have the best 2021 season of any.
Nope, but buddy, if you want to do that, we ranked pretty effing high. Finish.
You know what's hilarious?
What?
I didn't notice this until now. I printed out the sheet without our picks on it. Instead of the one that had our picks.
It
was a blessing in disguise.
Somebody knew that you didn't need it.
I can tell you,
this is from 2019 and not 2020.
Yeah, so you were even in the wrong file.
Bad producing on my part.
But actually good producing, because it didn't matter.
I guess so. So do we call these cuss corners? Do we call them something else?
Yeah, I think it's a cuss corner.
Do we just call this like the off season if we're going to do these semi-regularly? Like,
I have no idea.
Do we brainstorm this now? Paul, what do you think?
On the spot.
The spot. Maybe one of the listeners wants
the
to give
off
this.
Off season. I got to think of a play on words here.
Or do we just run it up and call it a cuss corner? Because it basically was.
It's basically a cuss corner. I think instead of refilming the opening, I think you just take the clip of you pretending to be, oh, I can't believe that they didn't talk about football. You just put that at the front of the show. Then you roll into the entrance of the show.
These are all ideas. Talking
about how you're about eventually going to talk about football. If they don't get it at that point, that we never
and
actually get
around
to it.
And if you put it up on the feed,
it would be hilarious.
And if you put it up on the CC feed, then yeah.
Well, no, it goes to the Pat Mayo Experience feed for Cuss Corner first. The old episodes of Cuss Corner go up. I went and looked at the download numbers for the Cuss Corner like exclusive feed. Shockingly high. I was
really
stunned.
You're a star, buddy.
People need their cuss, and they need them in one place. Because it's hard to find the audio versions of Cuss Corner on my feed, because we do a show every day. But on those ones, like they come out periodically. I'll dump three at a time. People like to listen to what Tim was saying in 2016.
I bet people ask me about the retrospective from this season, like the highlight show from the 2020 football season.
Matt, Best put together most of it. I still have to edit it together. I still haven't even released part two of the Best of Cuss Corner.
That must be a behemoth.
It is. I think I'm going to tackle it on Thursday.
Can I ask Tim a question that might be...
Fire away.
I don't want you to consider it dated, but I want to make a comment.
Well, we're past dated at this point.
You literally... Like, people think in this group or of the Mayo Media Network that I would be the person that dislikes Jordan's beat the most.
It's actually not even
close. I actually could find myself rooting for him and happy for him when he finally breaks through again. Tim is like actively wants nothing positive to happen for him. Period.
Look what he did to me. Look what he did to me.
That's
his
fair.
Collapse in Augusta turned everything upside down for me. Before that, it was like people were like, ha, 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 yeah, there's a curse. And no one took it seriously and thought it was funny. And what he did on number 12 at Augusta upended everything. I'm sorry. And then what he did at the British Open sealed the deal for me. I mean, the few weeks before, he chipped in at the Travelers in a graceless display of celebration, which infuriated me. And then what he did on that practice green at in 2017 was just infuriating. And of course, he hasn't won since, and he can't keep a lead because he's not that good. And what am I supposed to do? Like, pretend like I'm a fan of him? I don't like his whining. In fact, it was so weird. The other day, I think it was Sunday, he hit a bad shot. And he claimed he hit a bad shot, started to whine, as he does. But it wasn't a bad shot. I got over the sand trap and got onto the green. And I tweeted what I thought a lot of people were thinking was, oh, my God, cut his mic off. And a lot of people tweeted at me just saying, shut up, shut up, shut up.
They wanted you to turn your mic off.
Like, what's wrong with you people? Like, he's annoying to watch. He's petulant. He wears bad outfits from Under Armour. There's nothing redeeming about his actions on the golf course. He will make a 60-footer and can't make a 3-footer. You know, he hits his driver as far as Bubba Watson hits his 8-iron. What is it about Jordan Spieth that I'm supposed to be like, oh, this is the future of the sport? No, it isn't. He's like Mark Bulger. He was good for 3 years on a good team, and then he just was never good again. Like, that's what this guy, I know I'm supposed to pretend like he's like the future of golf, but
no one has said that he is the future of golf.
People on Twitter who like love Jordan Spieth, like he, you know, is like, if
like those people want coming. Those people want him to be great again.
Why?
But no one is saying that Spieth is the future of the sport.
It was terrible when he was good. It was terrible.
It was described to me as someone that, like, listen, I'm nowhere near where Tim is. There was a period where he was near the top, and I saw a lot of what Tim saw, and I made that perfectly clear. But it seems like, as it's been explained to me, a lot of people are so endeared to him because of how, like, sloppy he gets around.
I said that to you.
And like, yeah, but I guess you're not the only one, because I'm recalling somebody else recently
last week.
He's like
Phil Mickelson without any charm. He's like Phil without
any charm. I guess, like, the fact that it's not so easy, and it's not like this dominating way like DJ when in form, or, you know, even when Rory is at the top, like how easy they make it. That it's always this like, no, I'm going to be hitting a ball from everywhere today, and I'm still going to win.
And yeah,
except he doesn't win anything.
No, but that's what like makes him... That's, I think,
Chambers Bay because DJ 3-putts from seven feet. He wins the British Open because he's allowed to spend 4 hours on a practice green, screwing up things for Matt Kuchar. Like, even his big, he wins the Travelers because he's a Luxac and chips in from a sand trap. Like,
he lost the Masters because you cursed him.
Thank you.
He did it to himself. He did it to himself. And then he did the next year or the year after when he once again rinsed it on 12, because that's who he is. And that's who he's going to continue to be. Somebody who, when the pressure is on, can no longer handle it.
So will he ever win again?
Oh, sure. He'll probably win tournaments. Is he going to win another major? I mean, nothing's impossible, I suppose. Ernie Els won in 2012 out of nowhere when no one expected it. So I guess Jordan could, but... He's not going back to number one play. If I see Jordan one more time, I will scream into the void. He's just, you know what? I don't like him as a golfer. I don't find it endearing to watch him. I don't think golf was good when he was good. And I don't think golf is like missing him. Some of us could do without
him. I agree with a lot of what
don't feel like
Tim said.
That there, a place needs to be found for Jordan Spieth in our golf lives in order to enjoy the sport. You know, he's played it basically a glorified club championship last week at Pebble Beach, and he still couldn't win. Like, what are we doing here?
Winning's hard. I'm not picking on him for not winning last week. There are a lot of things that, like Tim said, that I do agree with, but I am like, I'm at like a 5. Tim is still like at a 10. Like, I've come down from the 10.
These go to 11.
Like, he is still.
Like, what am I wrong about?
The guy has been humbled and beaten down. And
now he's a redemption story.
And you're still
so
like,
humble that he keeps
and you still like want no part of it.
If he could go around without whining and complaining and yelling at his caddy, and but he hasn't learned anything.
See, I now find that fun with him, because he is struggling and he's coming through the struggles, and we're seeing him on leaderboards again. Like,
he isn't coming through the struggles. He's still not winning.
He's stacking events.
Okay, so he's a guy who went from losing. He's basically a guy who went from missing like cuts for 18 straight months to contending in tournaments again.
Being final groups back to back.
People are excited about it. Or you could have Patrick Cantlay out there who might as well be a fucking mannequin. At least there's personality. At least Spieth has personality. That's endearing.
I agree.
He has personality.
He does have personality.
But he does
it's
have a personality.
Part of what it's you hate him for, but he has personality.
Insofar as he has a personality, it's very grating. Oh, wow, he blew two consecutive 54-hole leads. I should be so impressed. Wow, good work, Jordan.
I'm not expecting him to win, and I am impressed.
I'm shocked that he's back in it again.
I'm actually impressed. Based on my expectations for where the weeks start, he blows them away. I don't hold them to, Sunday sample sizes. To me, he is now stacked events. That's a really good sign. He has stacked events with his putter letting him down.
Him contending on Sunday at Augusta instead of rinsing it on 12, it's a hole-in-one? And no-hole-in-one bet?
Well, no. My nightmare is him winning in a couple of weeks at Sawgrass. And people saying, it's essentially him winning another major, and he's back, and this is such a great win.
You know what? If he wins the Players, of course, where he has historically sucked.
I know.
He would be back.
I want to say he's back if he wins. I'm not saying he's back to being a number one in the world argument, top five player.
No.
I don't think we're ever there. I believe we're never going to get there again. And I don't think I'm insulting him to say we're never getting there again. But for the golf media narrative, one win. It could be a goddamn Wyndham. It could be a huge event like the Players. One win, and you're allowed to classify him as back. That is the rule to me. I don't make the rules, but that's the rule.
Talk about having the low expectation.
What are you talking about?
Going to be back.
Again, you're the same guy who's afraid of walking downstairs.
People can start talking about him being back. Can start the conversation when he wins a tournament. Until he actually competes and wins another major championship, I'm sorry. He's not back. It is impossible for him to get back without winning a major. You know what? Just get into the final group on Sunday at a major. Let's see if you can still do it. Me, I'm not so sure. I think Torrey Pines will eat him alive in June. I think Royal St. George's will eat him alive in July.
That's actually a really good course for him.
Why? Is there a lot of rocks for him to bounce the ball off of and into the hole? Because that's the only way.
No, but that is the perfect course for someone who doesn't have the DJ type prototype skill set to go win a major.
Except the DJ should have won that thing there.
You know who fucking won? Darren Clark at 90 years old.
Great. Let's see what Jordan does. I can't wait.
Are we rooting for Jordan Spieth to win the championship now?
Till he wins a major championship, don't waste my time with, oh, he's back.
You want to talk about petulance. You are it's ridiculous. So again, you have to listen to this back and listen to yourself talk and separate yourself from everything. You'd be listening to it and be like, who is this idiot?
All I know
it'd
is
be like next year if the Patriots beat, I don't know, the Dolphins in week one, 48-12. You're like, the Patriots are back. No, they're not. They just beat a sad sack franchise who they beaten year in, year out.
He finds a way to low blow the Dolphins as they've made a nice year
They're
and
back
a half
if they
rebound.
Beat the Chiefs. They're back if they beat the Bill. I'm sorry. It's just, but no one, Jordan is the only one who gets that. It's so exhausting.
Well, it's no different. He's almost held to the same Tiger is back standard. Tiger makes a birdie at the Hero his first time. It's Tiger's back because people are so invested. You don't seem to realize that Spieth is a real draw in golf.
Tiger's a draw. Why people love Tiger.
Tiger is the all time biggest golfer in terms of media. After that, it's probably Phil then Spieth.
Well, all time, I'd say Mr. Palmer's probably.
I would happen to say, Tim, the media not quite the same way today as it was in the fucking 1960s.
Not the same way, no. But
no,
I'm saying
it wasn't the same way. So shut the fuck up on this. You just don't seem to understand.
I can't believe.
I don't think you understand.
No, I don't think that you seem to understand this. The reason that the Spieth narrative is there because Spieth is one of the few golfers alive who moves the needle. Golf writers want him to be back. That's why they're talking about it. Much in the same way when Tiger was not back, that every story you'd read was, Tiger's back. He's making birdies. People want it for Spieth so badly because it's money in their pockets if he does well.
Do you want to know something? On Sunday and all weekend, and CBS comes on at 3. I needed to wait till 3:11 because I knew the first 10 minutes would just be speed in the final group, this nauseating thing, and I knew it was coming. I even had to listen to Berger's eagle attempt on the second par five on the front nine on Sunday because I didn't want to be watching the broadcast as they came on to air. But to your point,
because he pushes the needle. People care. Him.
That's a guy that, like, no, we're coming on the air and we're going to update you on where he is.
Well, to be fair, in that case, A, there was no one in that tournament, and B, it was the 54 hole.
But it was no different than the week before.
But if Spieth was playing Xander or other players,
Xander didn't get a pre-package. It was here's what Spieth did.
Well, yeah. But Xander hasn't won anything. Spieth at least has one. I guess.
You don't. It's
one chance. If Justin Thomas was there, it wouldn't be.
Spieth is getting the treatment that Phil does on a Saturday when he's 20 shots behind. Yes. Hey, let's go see what Phil's doing.
100%.
Spieth is in that category of guy that people care about.
And he's not even 30.
He's 27. Hairline of a 90-year-old. Rough treading out there. We got to go because I have a meeting to go to.
I had fun.
This was, I hope that people liked it. It was just a hang. Yeah, the hang. Hey, that's not bad.
We could just call it that. The Pat Mayo.
But I'm shocked hang. Your last Diet Coke I heard open was like an hour and 40 minutes ago.
He mutes his mic when he does it now.
I usually actually do try to. I forgot earlier.
So that will do it for Paul behind the camera, for Jeff, for me, for Tim Andergust.
Tim Andergust.
Not my name.
That was, I guess, we'll call this a cuss corner for now. And we'll work on it coming through. So maybe I'll throw in the Cuss Corner theme somewhere. Anyway, subscribe to the Cuss Corner exclusive feed. You can find that in the description. Also, Daily Fantasy Sports Picks and Bets The Mix. Please go subscribe to that and rate and review the Pat Mayo Experience. Smash the like and do all that fun stuff as well. Thank you all for watching. I'll see you next time. Pat Mayo Experience.
They better put it that way. I'll be not pleased if they don't make an exception for tonight.
Why would they make an exception?
Because it's Pancake Tuesday.
I don't know. I'm so confused now.
It's a
McDonald's is a pancake day?
No, it is pancake day, and McDonald's pancakes are not part of their all day breakfast usually. They damn well better be. I'm gonna lose my mind.
You have lost your mind. Experience!